The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Hi, folks, and thank you for joining us again for another podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith church in Sacramento, California. My name is Chris Alford. I'm the pastor of the church, and on this particular Sunday, we welcomed a good friend of our community of faith, Dr. Diane Collard. She's the Europe Director of Artist and Christian Testimony International, also heads up a group called Arts Charlotte in Charlotte, North Carolina. She and her husband, Glenn, were in town to speak with us and also share a beautiful 15-minute documentary film called Abstraction that talks about their amazing story of forgiveness and how ministry and art all intertwined to be a beautiful thing that God did and brought out of a tragedy. Now here's Diane Collard.
It's always a pleasure. It's like a home away from home, and in many ways a spiritual home that feeds us in ways that even our little house church in Charlotte is not able to do. So I thank you. I want to just get the elephant in the room on the table and acknowledged. Somehow between the ashes home and church, I managed to get some ugly green something on my pants, okay? You've seen it. I'm appalled, but I'm at home, right? It's okay. And Creative Ellen said, Diane, it matches your jacket. It's just abstraction. That's what it is. So here I am, standing before you very marred, but that's just kind of normal, so that's okay. I'm looking at this message today as kind of an extension of a three-part message that I've had the privilege of bringing here. In March of 2014, it was Transfiguration Sunday, and I spoke on flying upside down, seeing God's reality in an upside-down world. We looked at what it means to love our enemies. We looked at what it means to lose our life to save it. All kingdom realities. Last March, we were here, a year ago, March 2017, and I presented a message that was crushed for beauty. And we looked at various metaphors out of the art world. Nahanga, where precious minerals are crushed, gold, silver, platinum, and then all form of minerals to make the paint that then produces these beautiful works of art. Or kintsugi, which Chris showed you in your email notice this week, where when something is broken, instead of the master potter throwing it away, they put either platinum or gold or precious minerals in it so that it becomes of more value after it's broken than before. Kingdom realities. Today, June 2018, we're going to continue looking at the kingdom realities. I call this one paradoxical serenity. Learning to live within the mystery and seemingly antithetical truths of God's word. We're actually looking at God's true truth, his eternal realities, as compared with what feel like in our experiences as the only truth. We're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. I will read it. Follow along if you have your scripture. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show the surpassing power belongs to whom? To God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way. We're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus. So that life, see that paradox? Look for all these paradoxes. So that life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are also being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. We live in a day that has lost the definition, a trustworthy definition of truth. We've grown too easily used to hearing fake news, alternative facts, politicians who spout falsehoods that reflect their version of reality without any concern about truth. But that's not our God. Our God is the essence, the one who is the creator, who holds together this universe with his true truth. It's beyond our experiences of what we feel to an eternal reality that we will experience forever with him. What is a paradox? A paradox is a statement or proposition that leads to a conclusion that seems logically unacceptable or self-contradictory. A statement that seems contradictory or absurd, but is actually valid and true. Spiritually, it's the difference between what we experience versus what the eternal truth of God's promises are. There are some ultimate paradoxes in our faith. Christ was afflicted so that we could be comforted. Christ was rejected and we are fully accepted in him. Christ died. Why? So that we may live. Paul uses his own experiences. This is not some theoretical thing that Paul is teaching us in these verses. He is bringing it out of his personal experience in serving God. The disparity between what we experience and what God says is reality. Notice that Paul never tells us that we will not experience difficult things while we live in a fallen world. Many of you know our story of having a son that was murdered, a son that we had dedicated to God, that we had rededicated when we went to the mission field because he was staying behind. And I've got to tell you, before that experience, I kind of thought I was secure that if I had done that, then nothing could touch my child. But in God's sovereignty, he allowed 3 bullets to the back of the head to take our son's life. God never says that we will not, as believers, experience the realities of living in a fallen world. Illness happens, death happens, disappointment happens. It happens, but that is not the fullness of reality. And that's what we learn in today's verses. Paul here is using terminology the Corinthians would understand. If we could read it in the language it was written, it's using terms that would have been used of the gladiators or the military. These are strong terms. There are times that I feel hard-pressed and afflicted on every side.
Hey, wait, Diane, you are not cornered, never driven to surrender, and you're not crushed.
But I'm bewildered and perplexed.
Not at wit's end, not driven to despair.
Hounded by foes, I feel persecuted, Glenn.
Dr. Diane, never let the foes, never left to their mercy, never forsaken.
But what about when I'm knocked to the ground?
Well, never permanently grounded, not destroyed.
How can this be true? How can Paul, what did he know that we don't? Let's look at verses 10 and 11. Even greater mysteries of this paradox reality is expressed. They're actual paradox between life and death. We are given over to death for Jesus' sake. Why? So that Christ's life can be made manifest in us. All of these feelings of being in despair, crushed, persecuted, all of that is an example of carrying around the death, the reality of the death of Christ in our life. But God says we're not crushed, we're not driven to despair, we're not abandoned, because we also carry, fully carry, will eternally carry the life of Jesus within us. 1 Corinthians 15, 30 and 31, Paul stated that he faced perils and death on a daily basis. I don't think many of us can say that. We are told, though, to daily intentionally experience the mortification of our sin and our life unto God. These paradoxical realities are possible. Why? 7, it tells us that we are made by the master artist, by the master potter. We are made as jars of clay, earthly vessels. And we're made for a purpose, people. We're made to house a treasure. It's the treasure that makes all these permanent promises possible. It's the paradox of having the complete one, the triunity of God, in the person of the Spirit who is holy, who lives within us, jars of clay, fully incomplete. Why jars of clay? Well, it takes us back to Genesis 2. It takes us back to knowing that we were made from the dust of the earth. That's what clay is made out of, is the dust of the earth. It takes us also, remember when in Psalm 103 that the psalmist says, God knows that we're only dust. In Job, he writes in 10:9, remember you have made me like clay. Lamentations 4:2, the sons of Zion are worth their weight in gold, but they're treated as earthen pots. That's all we are, folks. Is it liberating to you to know that's all we're expected to be? We're not expected to be the treasure. We couldn't be the treasure. We are just to be suitable, usable jars of clay. It's not disparaging our earthly bodies. There have been people who have taught that this means that we have no value whatsoever, but we're made in the image of God. He breathed his spirit into us to give us life. He fills us with the Holy Spirit. It is not a put down. It is something to celebrate. Think about this with me. The master artist makes each of his jars of clay, each of us, unique. We're each one made for a particular purpose. He decorates us. He gives us the outer signs of his beauty and glory. But ultimately, it depends on what he wants to do with us as to how he fashions us. We are made to accomplish the purpose of the master. Earthen vessels in the first century were very, very common. It was the most common of anything they used to hold whatever needed to be held. Maybe just water or grain. It could be used for anything. It was made to be filled, not to show off the vessel, but to release the purpose that was inside. We receive, we're filled, and we should be overflowing with the person of Jesus Christ in us. Have you ever thought about that angels have the power? They are also created, and they also can worship God, but it never says that they receive and contain him. Only us. As his created children. We are God's packaging for this world. But in our world, our upside down world, often the packaging has more value than what's inside. I was looking this up and trying to figure out, and it was too numerous to list all of them, but I'll just a few things. When you buy a bottle of water, that water is worth far less to buy than the bottle that carries it. Soft drinks, table salt. We put more value on the packaging than what the ingredients are worth. Perfume, in general, most perfume, the cost of the packaging is 4 to 6 times what the ingredients cost. But if it's prestige perfume that's over $150 a bottle, only 1% of that price is the cost of the ingredients. We're upside down. Some clay pots are beautifully decorated, some are very plain, but they're all considered temporary. We're fragile, the clay pots are breakable, and God does allow us to be broken. He allows us to even be crushed, at feelings of crushed at times, such as I talked about in my last message. in order that we might shine forth what's inside, His grace. One day, our physical jars of clay will be resurrected to eternal glorified bodies. We'll reflect the power and the person of God Himself. We're filled to overflowing, which means that when something in life bumps me, what should overflow come out of this clay pot? What should it be? Jesus. What is it too often? I don't often overflow when I face the bumps of life with Jesus. I think that's what God is trying to remind us of today. Colossians 1:27 says what's inside is Christ in you, the hope of glory. 1 Corinthians 2:15 says that we're filled with the fragrance of Christ for the world. We have God Himself in the person of the Spirit who is holy that fills us if we are a believer, if you're a child of God. It is worth beyond measure. 2 Peter 1:3 says that this treasure will last forever. So what is our responsibility with all this? 2 Timothy 2:20 tells us that some vessels are used for dishonorable purposes. Some are honorable, but some are not. How are you using your clay pot? You are never beyond being used of God to His glory if you have surrendered yourself to Him. Allowed Him to cleanse you, allowed Him to redeem you and to fill you and be used. Sometimes the light seems like it that's within us, this treasure, this beautiful thing, this fragrance, isn't really seen by other people. In Judges 7, Gideon was told this, to carry torches in jars of clay so that they would be hidden, and at the proper moment, crush the jars of clay to reveal the light, which shone out in the darkness, and the enemy turned on themselves, and Gideon and his small band routed them simply through faith of blowing trumpets and shining lights. Is God putting you through a time of brokenness? What is shining forth in your life? Oswald Chambers says that a man's character is not forged in crisis, it is revealed. Does your character in those times of crisis reveal the person of Christ Himself? When Chris asked me to speak on this passage, because it's part of the lectionary for the day, I contacted a master potter who is a missionary in Cologne, Germany. I had trained he and his wife to go on the mission field. And I said, tell me, how do you respond to this passage? This is what he wrote. I think one thing that stands out to me as a potter is the intentionality I carry through all the way from idea to design to preparing the clay to forming the vessel to shaping, trimming, protecting it, curing it, glazing it, and then giving it a purpose and usefulness through its form and function. The best thing the clay, us, can do for the master potter is to surrender itself, stay malleable, respond well to the potter's hands and pressure that I'm putting on it to shape it into what it needs to be. If the clay, he goes on, if the clay is not ready, if it's too hard, do you have a hardened heart today? Or is it too soft? Then it will be prone to weak areas, air bubbles, warping, and cracking. Plus, it's just harder to work with. Dave says, I tell my students all the time that turning clay on the wheel is like a dance between you and the clay, one that you as the potter need to lead and not the other way around. So listen to this. When the clay takes the lead, it goes where it wants, and the results are 100% of the time in spinning out of control. Do you ever feel like you're spinning out of control? Are you taking the lead for the potter who's trying to shape you? He ends with saying, clay needs a potter. We need our master potter. Ned Bustard, writing to artists, says this: "We are to live out our callings, whether digging ditches or dancing on Broadway, understanding that we are weak jars of clay who must rely on the surpassing power that belongs only to God. And as we do so," Paul says, "that we will see that grace extends to more and more people. You're going to influence, you're going to bless more and more people to the glory of God. As a kangaroo was made to hop, humans were made to give God glory by reflecting his creative image in their work, simply by being who they were made to be." You know our story. You know our story of being broken in order to produce beauty. Also, you know the story of God's call on my life out of that time of deep grief and despair. He called me to a new calling to find and encourage artists that for 25 and a half years I have been living out. I continue to be, at this point, the Europe Ministries Director for Artists and Christian Testimony. And I started, which I told you about last year, an organization in Charlotte, North Carolina, a local ministry that with a team of people, it's called Arts Charlotte, and we seek to nurture the soul of the city through the arts. I am seeking to the best of my ability to be surrendered to God and live out his purpose for this clay pot. Tonight's abstraction, 16-minute film, that will give you an introduction, basically, to our story, both sides of the story, the forgiveness journey and the journey of God's call on my life regarding the arts. God's kingdom reality, the serenity of resting in the paradox of living victoriously in an evil, fallen world. When Tim was murdered, God very clearly asked us to surrender to him the question why. But when we did, he gave me a new question. And that question was what? What, God, can you do with this horrible situation to bring glory to you and hope to other people? That became God's calling on my life. Every time I'm asked to do any ministry, anything I'm asked to do, it has to pass through that, because this clay pot was made for that particular purpose, and God has clearly shown it to me. So let's apply it. Do you, if you were honest, do I assume that the packaging, the clay pot, is of most importance as we plan our life, as we determine our destiny, as we determine what our purpose in life is? Today, do you need to confess to the Master Potter your willfulness and your pride? Perhaps you've done things in your life that have rendered your clay pot dishonorable. And God says, confess, repent, accept from me my cleansing, and I will fill you, I will use you. He's always available. There's nothing we can do that renders us unusable before the Master Potter. Have you resented and resisted God's attempts to mold you, to break you, so that his glory would be shown? Have you become too hard or you're too soft for the Master Potter to work with you? Submit yourself to God, who desires to form you. You know, when a clay pot is made, I doubt very seldom would the Master Potter of that clay pot say, "I love the pot." But our Master Potter does. He forms us. He molds us. He purposes us. He fills us. He uses us because we bring glory to him, and he showers his love on us. I pray that today we be willing to be malleable, willing to be used, and willing that when we're so filled up with the Spirit of God that when we're bumped, it's God who comes out and is seen, only to God's glory. Thank you.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about ancient future faith or worship with us at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.